Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes, he said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
And I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, brother?
I am living the trucking dream, I tell you what. I'm broadcasting live from the Isle Casino and Resort Hotel in Bettendorf, Iowa. I've got an eight-floor room. I'm overlooking the Mississippi River. And you may remember about a month ago, I threw a piston through the engine block of my last truck. And thanks to Build Back Better, what would have been about a $35,000 job to replace that motor, you know, a year ago, is currently valued at about $65,000. And that truck is maybe worth $45,000 with a brand new motor. So obviously that didn't make sense. So I sold that truck to the scrapyard. And I am now buying, against my better judgment, I am now buying another truck. It is used, but it's got the Cummins IXX motor in it and 13-speed trans. So That truck is currently getting outfitted with all new tires and brakes over at Thompson Truck Center in Davenport, and I'm just sitting here at the hotel on the carrier's dime, not mine, while they correct those deficiencies. But that was kind of the deal we made for purchasing this truck. So, yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting on my truck so I can get back out on the road and start making some of this Build Back Better money.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. We also have our producer, Kim, on, so everybody say hello to Kim. And
hello,
yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, there she is. Yeah,
there
so anyway, how are you doing tonight, Kim?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. It's been a very busy news day. Very, very busy.
Chasing dogs around.
Well, no, just a news day. Like, there's been so much news all over the world.
Oh, news,
Yeah,
yes.
News. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry,
yeah,
it?
We got a lot to talk about tonight.
Oh, it's crazy. Is it my Canadian accent? You didn't understand me?
What's that?
I said, is it my Canadian accent? You didn't understand me?
Oh, no, honestly, to the audience, I'm still driving tonight. I'm actually doing the radio show on the road. I got my headset on, and I'm rolling down the road. My schedule didn't coincide for me to be stopped tonight. So I'm just rolling down the road at 70 miles an hour down the interstate in southern Minnesota, and sometimes that happens. But I know Chris is parked, so is Kim. They're all sitting down and staying put. I'm on the move. So I'll try my best to do what we do the best here, and then that's bringing controversy. And my opinion, that seems to piss off the liberals. But I'll do that anyway. We do have a lot to talk about. I'm just going to kind of give you a little heads up of what we're going to talk about, and then we're going to get right to it. well, the big news is today is Queen Elizabeth died. She passed away today. So that's one of the big news things. The second one was Joe Biden's speech last week, where it looked like Satan himself was up on the stage talking. The third one is the gentleman, I ain't even call him a gentleman, the piece of shit in Memphis that went around and was shooting random people because he's a thug. And then we're going to talk about the Democratic politician out in Las Vegas that stabbed to death a reporter, and he's been arrested for it. So we have a lot to talk about, and I'm sure I missed a few things there that we wanted to talk about. We're going to talk about the two brothers up. Well, the one brother for sure, possibly two, up in Canada, Saskatchewan, that was that stabbed 50 or 10 people to death and 15 injured, 15 I believe. And we'll bring Kim on when it gets closer to that topic because I want, you know, her to weigh in because it happened relatively close to her, and she's from, you know, Canada. So it always helps to have somebody that's right there talk about it. And then there's I did get a message sent to me by my friends Lisa and Lee Schmidt. Apparently there's a class action lawsuit against one of the autonomous truck makers, and I didn't get a chance to get into it because I was preparing for the show. But I will get to that subject or topic if I can. So I think maybe, like I talked to Chris earlier, I said, I think we should just start off with the Joe Biden speech. And Joe Biden, as you all know, went on stage. The prior day before that, he was talking about MAGA Republicans being borderline fascist, a threat to democracy, all sorts of stuff. And I really honestly thought a president with integrity would have come out the very next night, and I would have thought that he would have said, you know what, I was a little emotional yesterday talking about some stuff, and I said some things that I probably shouldn't have said about people that oppose the Democratic Party or even oppose me. And I basically called them terrorists and fascists, and I apologize. You know, if he would have come out and said that, it would have brought a lot more people together and would have been like, yeah, dude, you should watch, you know, what you say before you say it. But instead of doing that, he came out and doubled down on it. And not only did he double down, he went full authoritarian with his speech. Basically called half the country terrorists, and they're a threat to democracy. Now, in my opinion, anybody, any leader, any president, I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, or Mickey Mouse, you don't get up there and start calling your opposition terrorists or fascists because you disagree with them. That was, in my opinion, was meant to cause more division than we already have in this country, and it worked. And it's like they're pushing for somebody to spark off some kind of civil unrest so they can go into some kind of a martial law where they have complete control and basically they don't have to watch or listen to the Constitution or abide by the Constitution anymore because it's a state of an emergency. That's why you see MAGA Republicans and Republicans and Americans sit back and watch this asshole and basically call him for what he is. He's an authoritarian asshole. And, that's my thoughts on it. And, I don't know, Chris, what did you get out of that speech?
Well, you know, there's a big difference between being a threat to democracy versus being a threat to the Democratic Party. And I think that they're confusing those two because the terms Democrat Party and democracy, they're not synonymous. And they're saying essentially anyone that opposes the party platform of the Democrat Party is a threat to democracy, but it's really a threat to the Democrat Party because people in droves are starting to turn against their one-party rule agenda. And we're really starting to see that. And one of the biggest takeaways I had from this speech was just the awful lighting arrangement, that deep crimson red, because that crimson red with the dark accents and then a flag behind it, that carries a certain psychological impact. And they can't claim that it was an accident or anything. I don't think a lot of people realize you have people in positions that organize all the decorations, the lighting, et cetera, for these events. And, I mean, they understand. This is what they specialize in. They understand the psychological impact of everything that you see on that screen. These people will determine exactly what shade of blue the suit needs to be, whether it needs to be, you know, pinstripe or solid, they'll determine what kind of tie sends the most positive message, all the way down to the shoes. They will do the same thing for the decorations around the stage, the lighting around the stage. They are absolute experts in psychological impact. So when they show this deep crimson red lighting scenario as Biden delivers this speech, raising his hands in the air and even making fist at one point, speaking forcefully and decrying all of his political opponents as terrorists, they understand 100% the type of psychological impact that vision, that visual, and that speech, that type of speech, and even those facial expressions are conveying. It was meant to be taken as an authoritarian moment. That is an absolute authoritarian, we are the party in control, and everyone who opposes us is an absolute enemy and needs to be shut down. This was a rallying of the left-wing extremists. There, I said it. It needs to be said, and I said it.
Yeah, no, and I happen to agree with you. You know, while he's calling the opposition terrorists and borderline fascists, you have big tech censoring people. If I went on Facebook or anywhere else and bashed the shit out of Trump, it would be let through and probably picked up by the algorithms as being the top post so more people could see it. But as soon as you start criticizing the current administration or anything that has to do with the vaccine or COVID or any of that shit or Fauci, you get shadow banned. Listen, it's happened to me. I've got, I'm on my 9th TikTok account. I just got another one banned. This is my 2nd Facebook account because they banned my other one permanently. And then I just got a warning from Twitter that I'm at risk of being banned because I speak the truth. I put out the articles that I find that I dig deep for and they don't like it. But while your president, a sitting United States president, is calling half the country terrorists, across the country, you had a Democratic politician. And I'm going to let Chris get into the whole, what he knows about it. You were kind of talking about it earlier. But you have a Democratic politician that lost his primary. And there was an investigative journalist that did 5 articles about him. You want to call them hit pieces, whatever you want to call them. But this guy got pissed off because he lost his primary and went and stabbed this journalist to death. And I got a few details about it, but I'm going to let Chris get into what he read about it. And then it's just because I'm driving it, it's best if I keep my full attention on what I'm doing here. So go ahead, Chris. What did you find out about that?
Well, you know, paying attention while you're driving is overrated, and I'm finding that it's highly unpopular on American highways at the moment. But, the main thing, my main takeaway from this, I didn't learn about this Democrat politician stabbing a journalist to death. I didn't learn about that from some big news notification, pop-up notification from CNN or MSNBC. I didn't see it on some breaking news alert across my TV screen last night. Instead, I learned about it from one of those crazy tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists on TikTok who has a relatively small following. Mainly because I'm sure he's kind of shadow banned or whatever, a lot of his content. He was the one that came across on the feed, and I believe it was Kim that shared that out with us. Even I follow this guy, so I would have seen it eventually, but I know Kim shared that out to our group text last night. And this guy was saying, hey, I know you're not hearing about this on mainstream media, but right now there are SWAT teams at this elected official's house conducting a search warrant raid. And that was how I heard about it. And then, of course, it's like, okay, can I verify that any of this is true? Which it was hard to find many articles backing it up. You could only find local news articles. Rest assured, if this had been a Republican that had a SWAT team raiding his house for murdering a journalist, you would not be hearing the end of it on mainstream media, but barely a peep today. So that, to me, says volumes more than anything as far as the content of the articles that are out there. But essentially what happened, this was a local race, county level. This guy was the county administrator. It's an elected position. And one of the things that they handle out of that particular office is how to handle the properties of people who have deceased. They don't have a will. They don't have an executor for their estate. They don't have a next of kin that they can find immediately to handle the disposition of their property. And so the county steps in and handles what's going to happen with that property. And this particular investigative journalist, I believe his name was Jeff German, he had written some articles that kind of questioned some of the practices of his office, of him in general. He talked about a fairly hostile work environment, a lot of bullying to those who kind of opposed his way of doing things. And specifically, he questioned the nature of the relationship between him and one of the employees in that office. And essentially, I guess he got primaried, and he lost the primary election. Another Democrat was able to come in and beat him out for the reelection bid. So he actually doesn't even get to run for reelection because he lost the primary. And according to everybody in his office, this guy had a lot of animosity towards that journalist. And I guess they had even had a few little Twitter exchanges, calling each other out and insulting each other, whatever. And he basically, once he lost that primary, he pretty much blamed this journalist for the articles that he had put out about him, questioning the way he ran the office. And he went out and apparently stabbed him to death. The SWAT teams were there last night. They executed the raid and search warrant. And the news today was that he had actually been arrested and charged with the stabbing death murder of that journalist that he didn't like. And so, you know, we talk about the absolute threat of the MAGA crowd. But, you know, we got Democrat politicians out there stabbing journalists to death for writing articles that criticize them. So, yeah, who's the real threat? The timing on that is perfect. You can't make this shit up. I mean, literally, you know, within a couple of days of this speech about what a threat to democracy the Republicans and the MAGA crowd pose, you know, you've literally got somebody from the president's own party going out and, you know, murdering a journalist that was critical of them. Again, I that speaks volumes. This should be huge news on every network. I don't care what party you're affiliated with. When you've got politicians, elected officials, you know, descending to the depths where they're murdering journalists that criticize them, you have an absolute crisis on your hand. And why we aren't talking about that big time is beyond me. Well, it's not really beyond me. I understand what's going on. The Democrats can do no wrong. And if they do wrong, we just aren't going to talk about it. That seems to be the mindset of most of the media outlets out there. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it goes back, you know, to Joe Biden's speech and what we see happening around the country with these mass shootings. And, you know, a guy in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday, he kills somebody in their driveway at 2:35 in the morning. They issue an arrest warrant. And my assumption is he found out that they issued an arrest warrant, that they may have came and were looking for him at one of his known locations. And whoever tipped him off, he went on a killing spree. And there's actually a live video of him walking into an auto parts store and says, "This is real. This is real shit right here. This is real." And a guy comes walking around the corner, and he just shoots the guy twice, just bam, bam. I'm like, what the fuck? What the hell just happened? And then he goes around, and supposedly, right as of right now, he's killed four people and wounded numerous others. But the thing I want to touch base with with this whole Democrat politician that lost his primary, the correlation between that and all of the mass shootings that we see, and then you correlate the fact that our president got up on stage last week and told the whole nation that the Republican MAGA crowd are the terrorists, that they're the threat to our he called it democracy. It's a constitutional republic, by the way. But that's what our president said. Do you think, and let me ask you all a question, do you think this is MAGA supporters running around shooting up people in mass shootings? Because I don't know, and if correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know of one news story where I know there's MAGA supporters or MAGA Republicans, let's call them, that are running around committing mass shootings. I don't know of one story, and there may be out there, but I have not heard of any of them. So for our president to sit up on the stage and say that we're the threat to our society, basically, our country, we got a big-ass problem. And that problem is you have a divisive president and a bunch of pussy-ass that refuse to address what he said. and call them out for it. That's where we're at in this country. And that happened, and that's on both sides. I mean, there were some Republicans that, that said, okay, that's enough. But not one of the Democratic Party politicians that I've seen come out and said anything against what he said. The only time I've seen any of the Democrats actually say anything about what Joe Biden has done is when the FBI raided Donald Trump's home. And that was Cuomo, the former governor of New York, actually came out and said, you know, him, the FBI doing that to Donald Trump sets a very dangerous precedent, and I don't agree with it. Which I don't respect Mr. Cuomo, but I can at least give him the fact that he come out and spoke against the party in some fashion. When you can at least do that and call a spade, what's right is right and wrong is wrong, I'll give you a little bit of respect. But, you know, the political climate in this country is being, I mean, we're being divided every single day by our media and by our politicians on both sides of the aisle. When we have politicians and media doing what they're doing to our country and doing what they're doing to the people with the division, we are in very, very, very hostile and very, very dangerous waters. What Joe Biden did and said on that stage will, what it does is it lights a fire up under the crazy's ass. And there's probably people sitting at home that are nuttier than squirrel shit, you know, loading guns and making a bomb or whatever the hell they do. I you know, and they're probably planning something because he just added fuel, enough fuel to their fire that they just, they're chiseling out their cracker and they're ready to do something about it. So I want you all to really, really, really think about what he really said. And if you're a Joe Biden supporter, a Democratic voter, like my people that I shouldn't, I ain't going to tell you who, but people that are close to me actually said, you know, that they will not vote for Joe Biden next time if he runs because of the rhetoric that's coming out of his mouth. And these people are Trump. They hate Trump. They don't like Trump. But they dislike Joe Biden right now just as much as they dislike Trump. And Joe Biden's doing it to himself. And I really, honestly, that was Joe Biden's speechwriters that did that. But I would like to find out who authorized that speech, who wrote that speech, and who gave him that speech, and then told him to throw his fists in the air. And I mean, you got to be half insane to do something like that and to promote something like that. My opinion is, because I know in this administration, a lot of Obama people that were involved with the Obama's presidency are involved in Joe Biden's. I really, in my heart and soul, I believe Obama's behind a lot of what we see. And people like Obama, he was a good president. No, he was a good speaker. He had charisma. He was not a good president. He did a lot of things that really hurt this country. But that's my thoughts on it. You know, now they're pushing. I mean, look at society today. Nobody can handle any criticism, number one. Number two, they nobody can lose. Even if they're wrong, they cannot admit that they were wrong because, oh, God, I can't take that if somebody calls me wrong or they have no idea what integrity is anymore. So what's this guy, the politician out in Nevada do? He goes and kills the guy. And by the way, when he did it, he was driving his wife's metallic purple Denali, and he drove around the block where this guy was, and then he put on a yellow high-vis vest and a straw hat and went up to the side of this guy's house acting like he was a gardener or something. And when the reporter come out of his house, he stabbed him to death and then took off. Like, dude, there's not too many metallic purple Denalis that people drive. So right away, you're giving yourself away. And I think that's how they really caught him, probably by the vehicle and camera footage, and they just traced that vehicle back to, you know, where he came from. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on it. I you want to add to that, Chris, about the political climate in this country and, you know, what it's causing people to do? I'm sure you got some examples of your own, you know, maybe getting into that Memphis guy shooting. I want you to weigh in on that. And before you do, though, let me just let me add that if you guys are listening and you want to call in, you have something to, you want to add your opinion or your thoughts, you're more than welcome to come on air with us. We'll bring you on. And I'll give you that phone number to call in. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And write that down real quick, 516-387-1733. And make sure when you get through, you just press the number 1. That lets us know that you want to speak. And Kim will come on and see what you want to talk about, and then we'll throw you on air with us, uncensored and live. So, but go ahead, Chris. Weigh in on what your thoughts of that whole Memphis thing was. And I know you always come up with some pretty good comparisons.
Well, you know, the Memphis guy, from everything I take, he doesn't strike me as right-leaning. I'll just throw that out there. We know that this divide and conquer, divisive, create tension between the masses. We know this has been going on for quite some time. But the mainstream media, they only propagate this narrative that right-wingers are violent. They have failed to cover the violence committed by groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter in the 2020 riots. You may remember the most comical moment of the reporter standing in Kenosha. Kenosha is literally burning behind him, and he's calling the protests mostly peaceful. But then they show the lockdown protest in Michigan, which was peaceful, no fires, no violence, and, you know, basically called them terrorists for driving around the Capitol building, saying that, well, by driving around the Capitol building, they're blocking access to the hospital, which was complete bullshit. You know, virtually no coverage of the left-wing extremist that went out to D.C. and opened fire on the Republican softball game a few years ago. You know, they just, there's no reporting about the violence that comes from the left-wingers. Including, you know, I remember last winter, a shooting out in Pennsylvania over an argument about shoveling snow. That was a big-time Democrat supporter that shot his neighbors to death over an argument about snow shoveling. And the one thing that gets me, of course, I know I've brought this up several times on the show, is the fact that in their attempts to divide us, right, the Democrats are aligning themselves with certain groups and trying to turn them against anyone that is right-leaning or even moderate. You know, even someone, they even take people that are moderate left-leaning and describe them as alt-right. And I would be talking about Tim Pool from the Timcast show. And they're just alienating everybody. And of course, the one thing I keep pointing out, you might be a rainbow-headed, gender-fluid whatever, and you might be buying into this divisiveness because you think the Democrats totally have your back. And, folks, I'm here to tell you, the Democrats don't give a damn about your lifestyle. They don't give a damn about your sexual orientation. They are using you to divide and conquer so that they can establish one-party rule. As soon as they are able to do away with the Constitution and establish one-party control, watch how fast they drop your political interest. Watch how fast they drop your lifestyle. They are going to turn on you faster than a pissed-off bull in a rodeo arena. Trust me, this has happened before. And it's just like the other debates we have going on, you know, around the country right now, like, should we be paying off student loan debt or not? This is Venezuela 2.0. It's not really even about whether student loans should be or should not be paid off. It is about inflating the national debt to the point that we are going to collapse this economy so that everyone has to turn to the government for a solution that's going to come with strings attached and total control. And that's all it's about.
Yeah.
I don't care
exactly
whether we should be. Yeah. And it's just, it's all a mess. It's all a big mess. They totally have us divided, arguing over the wrong stuff. And no one, for the most part, is looking at the bigger picture of what's happening. And that's pretty much where I'm going to leave it. What we're experiencing right now is Venezuela 2.0. They are repeating the same thing they did in Venezuela. They're repeating the same thing they did in Cuba. This is basically a hostile takeover of the government. And the very people that are backing what they're doing are the very people that are going to get kicked off at the curb, pardon my expression, faster than a $2 hooker once they've gotten what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing it in all the Western civilization, the countries. Canada, you look at Justin Trudeau up there and that Chrystia Freeland. You want to talk about a couple of tyrants. And Chrystia Freeland has direct WEF ties, World Economic Forum ties. Like she's a Kim can maybe help me out with that, what she does for the WEF. But she's like big into the WEF. And, dude, I don't understand when we go ahead, Kim. What is her title with the World Economic Forum?
I'm not sure of what her title is, but they're all, like even Justin Trudeau, like many of the politicians that we find in our government here are affiliated with the WEF. And
yeah, and
it's starting
like,
to come out, and people are starting to realize, and people are like, oh my gosh, and it's like, yeah,
Yeah, the World Economic Forum founder, Klaus Schwab, it brags openly and publicly about it now. Before it was really hush-hush and a secret, but now they're very public and open about it because they feel like they've got enough people put in place that they're ready to make their moves, and they're making their moves. But he brags that he has over, 40% of Canadian Parliament under his payroll, basically. And
they're
called the young global, they're called the young global leaders. And this isn't isolated in Canada. This is in every single Australia, New Zealand, Germany, United States, everywhere. What people need to understand about the current Democratic Party in either Canada or the United States or anywhere, they are not the same Democratic Party that you voted for when in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Under, JFK and Jimmy Carter and people like that. This Democratic Party are registered socialists. They belong to the Socialist Party. That is a fact, and you can look it up. And now, I can't remember the exact number of our Congress in the United States, but I want to say 263 or 243 are currently registered Socialist Party what they call Democrats, quote-unquote. Now, that should scare the shit out of you. Anybody that wants to be a socialist or a communist in a constitutional republic country that we live, our laws of our land are based off of a piece of paper that have been in play for over 200 years. That's the law of our land. When you have people that want to expunge that, get rid of that because they feel it's outdated, those are people that have an ideology that you do not want to be a part of. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that the Republican Party are all angels, because I know they're not. As a matter of fact, I don't like politicians in general. There's a few of them that I think are pretty decent, but for the most part, I think they're all crooked. They get into office and they collect a paycheck, and then they tell you what you want to hear just so they get reelected to collect that paycheck. And meanwhile, look at Nancy Pelosi. She didn't want to get rid of the people, the Congress being able to trade while they're in office, because she's over worth $100 million. How the hell do you become worth $100 million by being a politician? It's gotten so corrupt and so out of control that it baffles me, honestly. It confuses me every day. You have the media that is backing up and you know damn well that they're getting their pockets filled, that they're backing it up. Like Chris was talking earlier, the Democrats can do no wrong, and the Republicans are evil. They're the terrorists. They're doing this purposely to divide the people. This is all part of the World Economic Forum plan. We've talked about this numerous times. Klaus Schwab has written a book about it. We've seen it in Canada, and we're seeing it in Canada. Trudeau's actually talking about if you're not up to date on your booster shots, they will possibly go into another lockdown and unless 90% of the population has up-to-date booster shots. It's like Pfizer's documents are already out there that prove that this vaccine has major, major side effects. Not to mention the morticians that are coming forward now in record numbers saying that, you know, back 10 years ago when they would embalm somebody, they would find 5% of those people would have blood clots. Now, you know what that number is? 50 to 70% of people that they are embalming today, they're finding major blood clots. Why is that? Why is that? Now, ask that question. Number two, look at all of the young athletes that are just, they're just dying all of a sudden. I just read an article today about a 16-year-old high school football player that had a 5-foot blood clot removed from his leg. A 5-foot. We've read, and I've read, and I have talked about this, and we've seen it numerous times all over everywhere about the information coming out about the clotting of the blood because of these, whatever's in these mRNA vaccines. And by the way, they're not vaccines. It's a technology, and it is an experimental technology. And those of you that have taken it, God bless you, but I'm telling you, you were lied to, and you are part of an experiment. And that is the truth. I don't need to lie to you, and I'm not putting you down for taking it. You did what you thought was best at the time that you received that injection. But this is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, blood clots. People are dying. They're developing myocarditis at record numbers. One guy, 24 years old, and he died of heart disease. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but that doesn't happen very damn often, especially at 24 years old. Now, I want you to, we don't come on here to shoot, you know, blow smoke up your ass. Chris and I have done this now. This is our 46th show. We were offered this show because I had a large social media following, and I kept on getting censored and banned off of social media. And I brought Chris on because Chris is very knowledgeable. Chris started with me the second show, so he's been on for 45 shows. So he is just as much a part of this show as I am. I brought him on because he knows what he's talking about, and he's a good speaker. But me and Chris also have what's the word I'm looking for? We a common whatever you want to call it. We believe in the same things. And we research a lot of the same things, and we don't believe in lying to you. Now, everything that we say on this show, you don't have to take our word for it, but go look it up and verify for yourself, and you'll understand that, yeah, they really weren't lying to me. They were trying to tell me the truth. You have to dig deep for the Pfizer documents. If you want to find them, they're out there. They had to legally be released. And it states very clearly in there, all of the side effects, myocarditis being a major one, blood clotting, women that have lost their babies, you wouldn't believe the number if I told you that one. That's astronomical. Do you remember anything else, Chris, that it was causing? And I can't, my mind is, I get off on a tangent and I go blank.
Well, you hit on the main ones. I know there were some nerve damage, people with varying levels of neurosis, nerve problems. Some of the people I've seen in some of the videos, it's almost like cerebral palsy, or Parkinson's, like an uncontrollable shaking. And these are young people, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s that, you know, were perfectly healthy.
prior to taking the shot. And now all of a sudden, you know, they can barely walk. They shake. You've got a record number of miscarriages, a record number of blood clots coming in, like you were saying. You've got a lot of unexplained heart disease. You know, the heart attack rate is just kind of going through the roof. The adverse effects are, the last time I looked, we were up to something like 29,000 deaths in VAERS, which we know only represents 1 to 10% of the actual statistic, which means potentially 2.9 million VAERS-related deaths that need to be further screened and investigated, which, of course, exceeds the number of COVID deaths. There's a lot of information that's being suppressed. The Pfizer documents have been released, but nobody's talking about them. You have to dig deep to find them. And, you know, in a generation of Americans that are too lazy to do any research beyond a two-sentence headline or a one-sentence headline, which we all know the headlines are usually misleading and don't even reflect the content of the article, you know, that information's not getting out there. It's been released. It's available to the public. Nobody's looking for it. Nobody's talking about it, except for guys like you and I, who apparently are the true terrorists in this country, not the people that, you know, run over children and elderly people at Christmas parades in Wisconsin. They're not terrorists. You and I are terrorists. Because we dare to speak out against the pharmaceutical company, which, by the way, I know we have haters that listen to this show, and sometimes I talk to them. You know, sometimes I engage them in their rhetoric, their death threats towards us, and I go to mine and tell them exactly where to find me, whatever. Sometimes I try to talk sense to them. Sometimes I say, listen, they're just using you, and they're going to turn on you. But I actually have a question. If any of our haters are out there listening right now, because I have followed, you know, I've kept up with the political scenes over the years, the Democrats and the Occupy Democrats and Occupy Wall Street movement and all that. When in the hell did the Democrats become such big supporters of Big Pharma? Will someone please tell me how in the hell that happened? Because
that's
the Democrats
question.
And the Occupy Democrats, I remember, were extremely critical of Big Pharma. They did not trust Big Pharma. They totally would sit there and accuse Big Pharma of covering up their mistakes so that they didn't have to pay out billions or trillions of dollars in lawsuit settlements. They totally accused them of pushing drugs to market that weren't safe and trying to cut corners. And all of a sudden, 2020 comes around, the Democrats say, hey, we have to trust the science and trust these vaccines, and now you guys are literally picking up pom-poms and cheering for Pfizer. Please, one of
yeah,
us.
I don't get that either.
Please explain yourself.
Yeah, and that's the next thing, too, Chris. You and I have gotten our death threats from VPN numbers that they're too cowardly to give you their real phone number. So they send you a death threat over on a VPN where you can't trace the number. We've said numerous times, you're listening. We know you're listening. Call in and get on the radio show and explain your side. Let me and Chris and our audience hear how damn right you are, and put us in our place. But you won't do it.
I mean, it's kind of hard to take your death threat for real when you don't even have the balls to call in and debate us on a radio show. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a reason I tell you exactly where I'm parked and dare you to come get me, because I know you're not going to show.
No, it's the intimidation factor, and they pick two guys that are not really intimidated. So, I mean, it's kind of stupid, really. It's like kid shit. But don't give me now. See, look what you did. Now I'm upset. Hey, I wanted to mention
effort.
Yeah, right. Never does. I did want to mention that I had a phone call with the owner of this radio network, Unplugged 7, and a guy that owns a company by the name of Bolsnot. And Bolsnot is a newly proud supporter of Unplugged 7 Radio Network, including the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and also the Patriots United Radio Show. I wanted to play a quick 30-second clip for Bolsnot for being a proud supporter of our radio network. So here it goes.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Bolsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bolsnot new.
Now listen, I talked to the owner of that company, and he is a phenomenal guy. His name is Van Brown, and just a spectacular dude. If you want to find these guys, go on their Facebook page and look up Bull Snot, like B-U-L-L, like a bull, and Snot, S-N-O-T, Bull Snot. They make some phenomenal cleaning supplies for your trucks, for your home, for your cars, for your leather. And they're really good, and you'll thank me later. And I'm not saying that because they're a proud supporter of our show. I am, well, that part of it, but I am because their product is phenomenal, and I mean that. That you'll trust me. You buy some, you'll get it. If you look them up on Facebook, you can find out where they're. I believe the TA truck stop started carrying them. Quick Trips. I'd have to go look in there, but yeah, if you. Look them up, and if you come across a product, just at least give their glass cleaner a try. You'll be like, holy shit, that's some good stuff. What were you going to say, Chris?
I have to laugh at the name. I really do, because when I think of putting something on my window that's going to make it nice and clean, the word snot really doesn't factor into that. However, it came on recommendation to me last year. From another truck driver that we know out there that I'm sure a lot of our audience knows, a guy named Joe Denny, Truck 'Em Up Joe, and he was talking about it. And I'm wanting to say I bought my first can of that from a TA. I have no idea where, somewhere in between the Atlantic and the Pacific, I'm sure. But I picked up a can of that, and I do have to say, I mean, forget Windex. I mean, I've used the Windex. I still have a bottle of Windex in my truck, but that can of Bull Snot, I use that stuff on my windows. I clean my phone and tablet screens with it. I do have to say, and not just because of sponsorship or whatever, the Bull Snot does give an amazingly clean glass for you, whether it's your window or your devices or whatever, but... Yeah, good stuff. I haven't tried any of their other products yet. Maybe they'll send me some to try. I don't know. But, no, it's good stuff.
Yeah, no. But since we're talking about Bolsnot and well, that kind of coincides with the trucking industry and well, our name, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, we are truck drivers and we are disrespected, I guess, sometimes. Not all the time, but there's a story that was sent to me by Lisa Lee Schmidt that I wanted to touch base on tonight. There's so much, and I want to get to the two brothers in Canada, you know, that went on a killing spree also. But we jump around on this show. Like, we'll talk about angels 1 second, and the next second we're talking about puppies, and then we're talking about trucking, and that's just how we roll. So just follow along. You'll enjoy it. But she sent me this article over about the headline is autonomous trucking firm targeted in a class action lawsuit. I'm like, wow, that was only a matter of time, and they haven't even barely been out. So this is from Two Simple's legal chief steps down and the company is subject to of a class action lawsuit. Now, again, I didn't get a chance to read that article just because it came to me right before the show started.
I read it.
You can find that at oh, did you? Okay.
I did.
What did you read in it, Chris?
All right. So I don't know how many of our listeners saw this video or not, but there was a couple of truck drivers that were in one of these autonomous trucks, and they were running the autonomous test on it. So they were already on the interstate, and they were in manual drive, meaning that the truck driver was in full control of the truck. And once they were already on the interstate and going down the road, they were performing a test. So he was in the process of switching from manually driving to engaging the autonomous drive, where the AI takes control of all the driving features of the truck. And the dash cam, I think it actually got leaked out by someone in the company. The dash cam leaked out, kind of went viral around the internet, where this driver's there. It's a driver-facing camera mounted in the truck. It was actually a split screen. It showed the driver, and then it also showed, you know, the road in front of the truck. And as soon as he engaged the autonomous driving feature, the truck just suddenly veered sharp to the left and crashed into the median barrier. And you can see the driver trying to steer out of it to avoid the collision, but was unable to wrestle control of the steering wheel from the hydraulics that were controlling it. And that video went out. That video raised a lot of investor questions. And so now a bunch of investors have filed suit against TuSimple, essentially indicating that their technology is not where they advertised it to be. And now they're seeing that their investment is in jeopardy, and hence the reason for the lawsuit.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We've been protesting against this. And let me start off like saying it, explaining to you this way. When people hear protesting, they think Black Lives Matter, burning shit down, you know, being rioting. When I tell you we protest, we do it peacefully. Never have we ever broken any laws or hurt or damaged anybody's property. So I just wanted to put that clarification out there before I explain something. Chris and I were involved. That's how I actually met Chris the first time, going to St. Paul, Minnesota, to the Capitol back in 2018. And that was to protest ELDs and the trucking stuff issues. That's where I met Chris. Shortly after that protest in St. Paul, that's when the Disrespected Trucker was created. I created the name and the group on Facebook, and we started that. Like I've been, after that, I'll just say, tell you what we did. We went to South Dakota, to the state capitol. We did a slow roll around Sioux Falls for the October 4th for 10-4 on D.C. in support of them. And then we went to the Capitol, and autonomous, at that time, South Dakota was talking about platooning. And what platooning is they have autonomous trucks, one's leading it, and then there's one behind it. And basically, the first truck gives the second truck direction and what, you know, so if the first truck brakes, the second truck brakes. And it's like coincides with whatever the first truck does, the second truck does. Now, when they were testing, they were going to test that on South Dakota roads. I'm assuming because they wanted to get data from the winter months and how that all works and whatever. But they stated that there's going to be collateral damage. And at that time, Sean McIntosh was with us, and Sean went to the South Dakota Capitol, and he spoke in front of their congressional hearing. And he told them, and he looked every one of those politicians in their eyes, and he said, you guys state that there's going to be acceptable collateral damage. And he says, I don't know about you, but is your wife, is your child, is your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever, are they acceptable collateral damage? Or is it just us people, other people that aren't involved with what you do, or we're not, we're just a collateral damage. And he said they all looked at him, and he got really kind of straight face, like, yeah, they made him think for a second. They passed it anyway. So they started testing platooning in South Dakota on the roads. Now, what Chris just told you, the technology that they claim they have, that it's safe. I mean, they do have over a million miles logged that in complete autonomous mode that are safe. They have autonomous trucks on the road right now with drivers in them running down the road. They are operating right now. But it's only a matter of time before the computers inside them have a glitch or something happens and it kills somebody. Then who's responsible? That's what irritates me about all of this is they call it collateral damage. We're going to advance technology. Well, how many lives are you going to ruin while you're, advancing technology? There's literally billions and billions and billions of dollars invested into these autonomous trucks. So,
yeah. We also have to talk about just the quality of those miles.
Because it's down in the southwest part of the states, in the desert.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas. I mean, even South Dakota is partly chosen because it has very, very light traffic, wide open roads, easily discerned terrain, Nothing like driving in the New England area or crossing the Appalachian Mountains, you're talking of most of that million miles was generated through roads that are really not that challenging for the technology. I don't think too many of those miles took place on Interstate 95 between New York City and Baltimore, for example.
But they do, but they are running in a triangle from Dallas down to San Antonio over to Houston. There is that triangle down in Texas, and that those are pretty busy roads. So, I mean, we're not saying that they haven't run on the busy roads, but the point being is they are out there. They are running. They are collecting data. Walmart has those small box trucks that make local deliveries that are completely autonomous out in California. So, I mean, there is technology. I mean, their technology is pretty good, but I just don't think it's safe to put them on the road quite yet. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Well, okay, so obviously not totally safe yet. I mean, even a small percentage of accidents, you're talking computer glitch accidents where now you have tractor trailers plowing into, rows of traffic and where a human truck driver might make an error that results in one or two deaths. These computer glitches, these are going to be multiple fatalities with some of those. And I guess those are considered acceptable casualties or whatever. But my main argument is this. What are we really doing this for? Because let's face it, let's say autonomous comes in. They get out there. The companies that embrace it initially, which is going to be your really large corporations, right? You're not going to see your small family-owned trucking companies investing in these expensive autonomous trucks because they just don't have the money. And so those big corporations that invest in that, they're going to make a killing, right? They're going to save all this money on human labor and have to pay it. And for what? Give it 3 to 4 years once it's introduced on a mass scale. Then you got all the trucks doing it. All those companies are going to be competing against each other. And at the end of the day, they're going to make the same damn profit margin with autonomous vehicles that they made with human drivers. So you just eliminated 3 million truck driving jobs. You just took 3 million people out of the workforce. Why? So that for 3 to 4 years, your big corporations could make a really huge profit margin before it all competes back down to razor-thin profit margins, which the market always does. Why? Why are you going to do all that? You got acceptable casualties. The casualties are still going to happen. You got all these people losing their jobs, losing their income, livelihoods, and for what? At the end of the day, it's all going to balance back out, and shit's going to be the same. So it's basically all about that 3 to 4 year big spike in revenue for the big corporations. Some of our haters out there, chime in. Please feel free to chime in and tell us how you support the giant corporations making massive profits off the backs of all the labor peasants losing their income. Come on, haters. I'm listening. I'm waiting.
Yeah, if you are listening and you want to weigh in on this, please do. We'll have that conversation together. The phone number, write this down so you can call in and keep it in your phone. Every week, call in. Give us your opinion on whatever subject we're talking about. But that phone number is 516-387-1733. And, again, that's 516-387-1733. Now, what concerns me back to this conversation about autonomous trucks, semis, we just got done talking about the World Economic Forum and Agenda 2030 and what their big, their ultimate goal is worldwide is to have a one world government. Chrystia Freeland recently, Kim was talking about this, wanted to extend the area for, I believe it was Antelope or something up in Canada where they want to start pushing the people that live in the country into the cities. And that's basically what their whole goal is to get people out of the country and all concentrated into big cities. Guess why? Because it's easier to control them. Now, understand this part about it too now. And this all coincides with the World Economic Forum. They want to go to digital currency. Well, what happens when you have digital currency? Well, you've seen what happened to the trucker protest up in Canada. They started shutting people's bank accounts down that even donated to the people or to the not people's convoy, but to the Freedom Convoy up in Ottawa. Now, what do you think is going to happen when we're all on digital currency, no cash is we're a cashless society, and they go on your social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and they see that you're criticizing leadership? Guess what? You don't get to eat that day. Well, we shut your card off. Good luck. And they control how much food you buy. So if they deem that, oh, he's buying way too much food, he's stocking up, shut his card off. They control every aspect of your life. Now just think about this for a second. Back to the autonomous trucks. This goes full force, and it puts all these truckers out of work, and we don't need guys behind the wheel, men and women behind the wheel of trucks anymore. Now I know this sounds all nuttier than squirrel shit, but hear me out and just give it a thought. What do you think when we're all out of these trucks and it's completely autonomous and they decide that area of the country is way too Republican? We're not sending any semis to that area. Let them fight it out for themselves. If you think that's out of the realm of possibility, I'm here to tell you that history repeats itself, especially to those that that want to erase it. We're going to take down a statue, and now my feelings are better. We're going to take away the flag, and now my feelings are better. History always repeats itself if you let it. And right now, that's what we're watching. I don't know what stage we're at, but we're a little bit past the beginning. That's for damn sure. But that's what scares me about these autonomous trucks. They're building that technology. They're going after that technology. There's billions of dollars invested. And I've heard people say, yeah, let's watch it back into the spot that I have to back into. Or how's it going to drive in the winter? Or who's going to fill it up? And then I've even heard, well, you wait until their batteries run dead. People think autonomous is all electric. Right now it's not. All it is a technology that they put through the computer systems of these trucks with cameras at every single angle on that truck with sensors. So if you don't think that truck can't back into that little tight spot that you do because you're a professional truck driver, trust me, it can do it 10 times better than you and 10 times faster than you because it has cameras. Every single inch, the direction it's going, it can back into those spots, trust me. It can make turns. It can do things that you can do too, but it can do it better because that's the technology. So,
but it won't.
You need to give that a what's that?
I said, but it won't. You want to know how those trucks are going to run through blizzard conditions to get those much needed supplies to an area, especially in a lot of places, a very conservative area? They're not. That computer is going to make a decision based on surface conditions and say it's not safe. This truck is shutting down until the surface improves. Those trucks aren't going to move. You're not going to get your supplies. Humans will recognize the need for those supplies, for those groceries or whatever, to get to their destination during flooding, during blizzards, during, you know, droughts, whatever. Those computers, they're not going to give a damn. The computer's going to say, nope. Risk assessment, not safe, vehicles not moving. You know what the Wall Street bankers are going to say? All right, it don't move. We can't afford the liability of that truck getting into an accident. So, yeah, you're sitting there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in the middle of a blizzard? Well, too bad for you. The computers aren't coming for you.
Well, and that's you hit on a good point there too, Chris, because they could shut these trucks down anytime they want. And people are like, they don't realize, like, the truckers now, we have to follow hours of service. So we could drive 11 hours a day, and that's it. These trucks can drive 24 hours a day. What about a blizzard? They stop. They stop, and they go when the computer says it's okay to go again. They don't have to worry about time with these. They could run 24/7, especially in good weather conditions. So, I mean, it's scary technology to a lot of us because it quite possibly will put a lot of us out of business in the near future. I don't see that happening tomorrow or next month or next year, but certainly within the next decade. And I'm not ready to retire at the age of 55 when I turn 55 in 10 years. I always thought that I would drive truck and they eventually would find me dead in the sleeper and. That'll be it, you know. I love this profession. I'm getting tired of the people out here that are inconsiderate drivers, and it's getting to the point now where it's not the same profession I started in 20 years ago. It's just not. It's different. But so that's I don't know. We'll talk more about that stuff as the articles pop up and. I don't like to dedicate a whole show to something like that because people lose interest, and I like to pop around different subjects because one subject you might not like, but the next one you really like, and that's kind of how it goes with this show. But we do talk a lot about our thoughts and our, you know, what they quote-unquote conspiracy theories, but we've got a pretty damn good track record, don't we, Chris, on conspiracy theories that have come true. But, I wanted to get to a story I told you guys about earlier in the show, and then Kim is gonna come in actually and chime in and talk about it a little bit because it's up in her neck of the woods up in Canada, and I would rather you hear it from somebody that's up there and has seen the local stories and has a little bit more knowledge than what I do. But the gist of it is, and I'll just give you the basics of it, and then. I'll let Kim go ahead and take over, but originally it was thought that these two brothers, went on a killing spree and they killed 10 people and injured like 15 or something like that on those lines. And then the story just got really crazy in the last couple days. And I'll let Kim just go ahead and explain to you what happened and just tell you the story. So go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, well, I was awoken on, well, actually, I wasn't awoken. I was already awake, but all my phones were going off, my cell phones. I carry multiple phones for work and stuff, and we get these alerts, and it was from an RCMP detachment about 45 minutes, an hour away from me, about 8:20 Sunday morning. alerting us that there have been multiple stabbings. Didn't say really where, didn't really say too much. We got a total, I think there was 9 or 10 notifications from Sunday morning up until yesterday. So basically, two brothers, 32 and a 31-year-old, they killed 10 people, aging in range from 23 to 78. It happened, the majority of the people that were deceased were on the James Cree Nation, a First Nation reserve. And then I think there was only one person in the nearby village called Weldon. So, of course, everyone panics. They know who they're looking for. They can't find them. They're warning everyone just to stay in. It also was Northern Lights, like really nice Northern Lights. And they were asking people, please stay off the grid roads, because the police were like, we had so many police. Police, RCMP came from all detachments. It was a massive manhunt. Then it came out Monday, they found the one brother, and he was deceased, and they found him in a grassy area on the James Cree Nation. So, okay, now we're looking for the other brother. Now, this brother, he was on the run, and he had an active warrant out for his arrest since May. And he's got, I think he had like 59 charges, like priors and everything, like not a nice person probably. But 18 other people were injured during this. So yesterday, there was probably about an hour and a half from me, an alert comes out saying that there had been a vehicle stolen at knife point. Now, they use knives. There was no shooting. There was no guns. It was knives. And he had stolen a Chevy White Avalanche. Within an hour, they found him, ran him off the road, and with an hour after taking him into custody, we got notification that he passed away from self-inflicted wounds. So both brothers are deceased, which is kind of sad because I've seen people from the community, family members, wanting to know answers as to why. They've just come out and identified everyone. So it kind of leaves everyone, you know, but I won't lie. I mean, I've got 750 pounds of dog here. I locked my windows and everything the night before last because I was like, holy crap, like, yeah, you know, it's scary. And if you, like, it's like any time you back someone in a corner that's got nothing to lose, well, that's scary.
Yeah, and right now they really have no motivation for why they did that, right?
No, they haven't said anything. And I know that, like, one of the deceased has the same last name as them. I don't know what the connection is. And they alluded to the fact that there were family members involved in the deceased and in the ones injured, but nothing more has come forward about that, which is very sad too. And I think the youngest of the injured was a young teen. So there was really no rhyme or reason. They were taken every age out, whatever got in the way. We had heard reports they were knocking on doors. As soon as someone answered, they'd get stabbed. And, yeah, like, just really messed up.
Wow.
You'll love this.
Go ahead.
And then you'll love this. No, you'll love this. So then the government, they go and announce, you know, that all our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Saskatchewan, which is the province, like your states that I live in, to the shootings that went on. There was no shootings. It was all knife attacks.
Push that whole gun. Push that whole gun control thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, it was really scary. Like I said, it spanned from Sunday morning to yesterday afternoon. But it was, you know, people, we were warned, do not pick up hitchhikers. Do not stop for anyone that looks like they're broken down. Do not answer your door if you don't know who's outside. Because, of course, they were trying to protect the public.
Wow. That And they never recanted that statement either, I bet, either, about the shooting.
I haven't heard, because I honestly, I do not listen to mainstream media, because our mainstream media up here is all paid for from our government. So they run on their own narrative, which is totally different than what the actual facts are, I find sometimes. So I honestly don't know if they've recanted it, but it was all over everywhere. As soon as they made that mistake, people were on it. They were posting it everywhere.
Well, that's it. At least they did that. But see, that's a good example or a comparison to Canadian government and United States government. That both governments are pushing that same narrative and same agenda. And because it's a worldwide narrative and agenda, back to the World Economic Forum and one world government. Once they disarm you, what are you going to do to defend yourself? Throw a rock at them? And like Joe Biden even come out the other day and said, hey, you want to fight the government, you have to have an F-15. Like, what, dude, what are you doing? Why are you saying shit like that? Like, it baffles me. Like, I can't even think right when I think about the shit that he says and the things I've seen Trudeau say and do. I mean, they're tyrants. The bottom line is they're tyrants. So, but thank you, Kim, for explaining that, because that I think it gives the story more life when somebody that's close to it explains what happened. And it's certainly a scary thing, especially for you being close, knowing that at any given point you could be on the shit list of one of these people just because you've crossed paths with them. So. But no, thank you, Kim.
You're welcome. I was going to say to you, too, the Chrystia Freeland thing where you're talking about the preservation, it was Caribou, and it was in northern Alberta.
Thank you.
Yep, it was in northern Alberta where she's promoting that they have, you know, they extend the sanctuary and preserve the caribou. And it's very funny because a very good friend of mine had did a TikTok about it, and I came across it where he said, well, isn't that interesting? The government just signed a death warrant on the caribou. It's like, yeah, because people aren't going to put up with us. People are done.
Yeah, and I know Canada just – because don't you guys have something coming up here in like a couple days, like some big protest? Is that still on, that September 10th, 11th, whatever protest?
I honestly, there's so many different things going across Canada right now. I honestly, yes, there's so many things going on. And I know a couple of videos, like I've passed along to you and Chris. I try to keep you guys in the loop of everything. There is just so much. There is so much. Our Starbucks here have all become cashless. You cannot pay cash for anything at a Starbucks. And if you want to go to a Calgary, what is the football team in Calgary? Anyways, McMahon Stadium has announced that they're all cashless too. They will not accept cash. Like, it's starting to trickle down, and, you know, people don't seem to understand how dangerous this is.
They don't understand because it's all about convenience for me. You know, I think it was me and Tony, my friend Tony was talking earlier today about, he was telling me about these sex dolls that they're making now for pedophiles, ranging anywhere from infant to, I think he said, 7 years old. Like, this is really, honestly, a thing. And Amazon is selling them, according to Tony, and eBay and some other place. And I said, you know, why the hell are we not just boycotting these businesses? You know why? Because people don't want to be inconvenienced. Like, I said a long time ago, if you knew what Walmart Corporation was up to, you would never spend a damn dime in Walmart. And I quit buying anything from Walmart, and I haven't bought anything from Walmart for roughly 2.5 years. I refuse to shop there. I refuse to give them a penny of my money. And that's honestly what needs to happen. When you find out about these companies that are contributing to the downfall of our society and our morality with fucking sex dolls for pedophiles, I mean, where the fuck did that come from? You know, it's the whole government pushing this gender studies and gender this and gender that, and you've got these fruit ball teachers that are trying to convince a fucking kindergartner that they're a girl or a boy. You know, when you don't know what sex you are, you can, you know, oh, but you can decide that I'm a boy now. I want to be a girl. So they're gonna start giving you the hormones at 5 or 6 or 7. Give me a break, people. We've lost our frickin' minds in this country. Have you heard anything about that, Chris? Those sex dolls for pedophiles?
No, that's a new one on me. I have not heard about that. Wow. I mean, I don't know. I would have to hear some arguments and data. I suppose if that helps these sick, twisted pieces of shit alleviate their desires without actually harming children, perhaps there's an argument for that. What a sick world we're living in.
What do you even say to that? Like what you said. But so when you say something like that, then people are like, you're a sick fucker too for even saying that. But I understood where you're coming from because, I mean, think about it for a second. If that's what, which I don't think is their reasoning, but if that is their reasoning.
You know what, I censored my real reaction. my real reaction is more of an immediate cure for that kind of problem, shall we say? Tony,
well,
knows
here's
where I'm
my thought on it. My thought on it is okay, so you get somebody that actually orders one of these dolls. Why don't you just have it hand delivered by an execution squad and just take care of the fucking problem right now? You know what I mean? Just, yep, now we know who the pedophile is, and kaboom, bye-bye, see ya. I know that sounds a little drastic, but, yeah. By the way, I just sometimes I just say things. But, no, I mean, I don't know, man. It everything has just gotten so upside down, backwards. Yeah.
Can I just interject? I don't think it's drastic. As a mom, I'll tell you one thing. Like, I wouldn't need a weapon if I had someone that was using, like, it disgusts me. It disgusts me, even the learning curriculum here in the Canadian schools that they're trying to push, all these pronouns, all this bullshit. It just, things that young kids are not allowed just to be kids anymore. Impressionable little kids. And if anything had ever come near my child, they would be no longer.
You know, I know. And that's kind of how I feel too. So, but yeah, I mean, if you guys want to join, by the way, I'm not on the switchboard, guys. Is there anybody that wants to get on? It's too hard. Yeah, I'm driving in the dark, and the road's black, and it sucks. But
we do have a caller.
If you want to, we do. You want to, Kim? You want to add the caller on?
Can I personally deliver all them dolls? I'll take care
they
of the
are
situation.
On.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Frank, who do we got? Who do we have on air tonight?
Frank.
Frank, how you doing, Frank?
All right. How are you?
Good. What did you want to add to the conversation? I'm good, brother.
Can I personally deliver all them dolls?
My man.
Yeah. Hey, do your thing. I just so you know, because the video, these conversations are recorded, are these radio shows, and. I just want everybody to be careful how they word it, because I don't want it to be deemed a threat, and the FBI comes banging down your door and arrests you for doing some kind of a threat. But well, I get the sentiment, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I mean, it, no, I get it. I fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah, sick people and nah. Yeah, they ought to track them down and put them in front of the firing squad. That's all I'll say about
yeah.
it.
No, and I appreciate you calling in and joining the conversation, but I mean, it's like the government and the media has given these sexual offenders, sex offenders, or whatever you want to call them, given them a voice that they feel that they're entitled to have because it's how they feel. Well, I'm sorry, but you have a mental fucking illness if you want to have a relationship with a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a kid, a child. You're sick. You got something wrong in your head, and you need professional help. And
the thing of it is, and once it's done to a child, it never goes away. All right, still fight it, and the adults still fight it their whole life. what happened to them. So, I mean, you just got to be a sick freak to touch a child. And worthless. And I'm going to keep this. As far giving you an option of what gender you want to be, they turned around and, first of all, God only made Adam and Eve. There's only two genders as far as I'm concerned. But school in southeastern Indiana is telling 6-year-old children, you can be a boy if you want to be a boy, and telling that to a little girl. And telling a little boy that they can be a girl if they want to be at 6 years old. That come out.
And that's happening in more schools than we realize, you know, and the liberal crowd will say, no, that's not true. That's been fact-checked. They still haven't gotten to the point where the realization yet, the fact-checkers, what they call them independent fact-checkers, are nothing but partisan hacks. That's all they are. And they will do and say whatever they want to make you believe that right is wrong and wrong is right. They do it to me all the time, and I prove to them that they're liars.
I got to interject.
So that, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
All right. One of our listeners, guy we haven't heard from in a while, Medicine Man, he's listening to the show tonight, and he just texted me the Amazon link. And, parental guidance suggested, earmuffs, oh my God, wow, what sick fuckers we have in this world. It's real. You can order this shit over Amazon. He just shared that with me. And I'm going to tell you what, though. I'm going to throw a little spin out there, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of authoritarian governments in the world. They do not like outliers. They don't like people that are different. Just like Adolf Hitler wanted the master race, right? The people that look a certain way, have certain genetic features, think a certain way. But here's the funny thing. They will use those outliers to create division. And I hit on this earlier, right? They'll dump you off at the curb faster than a $2 hooker once they use you to achieve power. Has it occurred to any of you extremely twisted, left, far left-leaning, you know, rainbow-headed people, has it ever occurred to you they're creating an environment where you feel completely and totally free to admit socially that you are this perverse person, so that once they achieve the power they have, and when it's time to go out and thin the herd, you're on the chopping block because they convinced you to admit how sick and twisted you are. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, and here's the thing, too, Chris, that everybody needs to remember. They're going to come after the people that are the biggest threat to them first, and that is the conservative crowd. That is your American patriots. Those are the people that are armed to the T, and like they believe in the Constitution, and they stand up for their what's right in this country. They're going to come after them first, and that's what you're seeing. And once they're gone and they're taken care of and their voice is gone and they are not deemed a threat anymore, that's when they're going to come after you. And guess what? There's going to be nobody there to stand up and fight for you or help you. You're done. You are done. And that's when we talk about the division in this country and what we see with, the left versus the right and the gays, the gay community against the straight community and all these different division tactics that they use. You need to realize that this is all planned to a T. I mean, these are people that the CIA literally goes into other countries. Hold on a second here. Literally overthrows other governments. Venezuela, shit. We could go right on down the list. The Iran-Contra scandal was part of that. I mean, I just want to explain it to people, like, this is what they're trying to do, and it's working, and we're watching it work, and we're warning you, and you call us right-wing extremists because that's what the news tells you to call us. That's what the news tells you to believe. That's what they're going to tell you how to feel. That's what they're doing to you. They're manipulating your mind. And we're guys like me and Chris and numerous other people that I know, that I listen to, that I watch, there are people out there that are just trying to warn you. And if you don't want to heed our warning, that's what's going to happen. History always repeats itself. I said that earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. It always repeats itself. But, no, did you want to say anything else, Frank, before I let you go?
Well, and also remember that the Democratic Party made the longest living racist group there ever has been, which is known as the Ku Klux Klan.
David Duke was a very staunch Democrat. There was no secret that he was involved with the Ku Klux Klan. And I believe Joe Biden has ties to the Ku Klux Klan. And listen, it's not one party or the next. There are Republicans, too.
Yeah. You know, they're pointing the fingers. When you point one, there's 10 pointing back at you.
Exactly.
They're trying to create diversion from all the things that they do.
Of course they are. That's their MO.
You know, I listen to your show every week. I really appreciate what all the truth that you're putting out because I fact check like crazy. What else you got to put down the road?
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Frank, so I'm going to let this go. But I appreciate you calling in, brother, and you have a great night, all right?
You too. Bye.
Okay, that was Frank, everybody. I just, on my switchboard, I see we have another person that wants to get on and share their opinion. Your phone number ends in 9687. You are on the air. Who do we have tonight?
Medicine Man. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey man. How you doing? Good to hear you again, man.
Not too bad. Yeah, it's been a little while. Been busy working, thankfully.
No, I hear you. I hear you, brother.
Got rid of that other truck that darn near bankrupted me and back on the road making money again. So that's always
that's good to hear. Yeah, glad to hear that, man. What did you want to add to the guy? Well, Chris was telling me that you looked it up, and
you
can actually get sex dolls.
Yeah, they don't call them sex dolls. They call them lifelike dolls. And if you scroll through some of the pictures, you can tell that there's obviously body parts that are there for use. That is disgusting. I will not use Amazon for anything. Their video, Prime Video, Amazon, you know, buy stuff online. I know they're convenient and everything, but it's the same like, what was it, Coca-Cola? I haven't bought any Coke products since they came out with that. Learn how to be less white. What did they call that, a workshop for their employees? Amazon's the next one. That's just wrong. That is disgusting.
When Tony told me about it, I just thought that just can't be. But Tony digs into some stuff that he comes across, you know, on TikTok, and that's where you find out a lot about a lot of stuff that you don't see on mainstream media is TikTok. And then you go and research it for yourself, and you're like, holy shit, that really is true.
Well, I sent that link over to Chris. He can send it to you, and you can see what it's about. I mean,
I believe you. I don't even want to look at it, honestly.
No.
I just sickened me.
You can't unsee it, and I'm still mad.
Yeah, that's just wrong. That is just wrong. Don't understand it.
Yeah, but, I mean,
get away with that crap.
If they would have done this 10, 15, 20 years ago, do you imagine the outrage and the outcry? Oh shit! But now it's like they make it the new normal.
It's accepted.
Well, you know, there's people out there that's what they're, you know, their sexual orientation or that's what they're into. It's like, then put those fuckers in jail so they don't hurt anybody.
They're trying to add that. They did that a little while back where, you know, how they got the LGBTQRST, whatever the hell it is, that whole group. They were trying to add the P to it as well for the pedophilia, the pedophiles out there, you know, sexual orientation. It's like, you're accepting of this? Who in their right mind would do that to a child? Who in their right mind would allow that to happen to children? I'm here to tell you, if somebody touched my daughters, they wouldn't survive. I would go to prison the rest of my life. I would dismember that guy piece by piece. Or woman. Doesn't matter. You touch my children, I'll kill you. And
well, it's
people are allowing
it's similar to well, it's similar to like the domestic abusers. They these guys that are continuously beating the shit out of their girlfriend or their wives, and to the point where like you see them and they put their head down and they just, you know, to do that to another human being to make them feel like they're less than human,
that's another
illness.
Yep. Well, actually,
you know,
there's been studies that men are actually more abused more than women are.
I've seen some women in relationships. I've seen some women that are just downright, they're fucking brutal, dude. They had no qualms about punching their man right out in public, and he takes it. It's like, no, dude, you ever lay your hand on me? That's the last time.
Exactly.
It's
man,
yep,
woman.
No,
you come at me like a man, and you're going to be dealt with like one. That's just all there is to it. But
no,
that's wild. That is wild.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and letting us know that, because that, I mean, that's just verification that it does exist, and so our audience can hear it. This is a real thing.
It's true. It is true. Be warned.
Yeah. So
if you don't want to see it, it's there. Yeah. So I don't know. But
yeah.
Time to call and let you guys know. Verified the fact.
I appreciate the call, man. Chris, did you want to say anything at all while we got Medicine Man on?
No, I'm still kind of fuming over the fact that this is real and not just some crazy story that's not true. But, thanks for calling in today, and definitely appreciate it. Miss having you on the show. So.
Yeah, I got
to
get more time.
Good to hear
half
you.
The time I'm running back and forth from California, and I don't get service half the trip running down 95 going down there towards Winnemucca. And it's kind of just staying busy, getting back above water. So hopefully I can slow down
long
and get back to life.
That's good to hear, Minnesota. It's good to hear you again, brother.
Yep. Nice hearing you guys too. But keep sending me the links over, Chris, and I'll get on.
I will.
I'll get on if I got serviced.
All right, man. We'll catch you later. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Guys, have a good one. Thanks.
You too. I was broken.
All right, everybody.
Down
that was Medicine Man. What's that?
I said I was broke down in Winnemucca once for like, I think it was actually 8 days. I kept telling everybody I was stuck in Winnemucca. And he's right. There is no cell service. I would actually each day, I would actually have to drive over to the pilot in order to get cell phone service. I would have to use their free Wi-Fi. I couldn't make the phone call, but I would go there just so I could send text messages out, and I had no capability of dialing out. It's really bad out there in the desert.
Yeah. The furthest west I've gone in trucking is like out by Salt Lake City, just south of Salt Lake City. I picked up a load of cattle there once, and then I hauled some loads, you know, reefer loads out to Salt Lake City, but I've never gotten out in the desert. But, well, shit, you've gone to Beardstown, Illinois, right, Chris?
Probably. Where is that again? Refresh my memory.
Beardstown, Illinois, that's they got that big pork plant there. And you get into that town, and they have zero cell service. It sucks. That's what sucks about being a trucker. You get into some of these places and bad areas for hours or 30 hours or whatever it is, and you're literally, you feel helpless because there ain't nothing you can do. When you're on the road, you do everything off of your cell service. You watch your Netflix or whatever you do. And when you don't have cell service and you're at one of these locations, it's like, fuck, now what do I do? Like, take a walk? I don't really like walking, but there's really all, that's all you got to do. But
it was really bad out west.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. But no, that was good to hear Medicine Man. We haven't heard from him for a while. I'm glad to hear he's back on the road and doing his thing. And you know, that's that. Always got to cheer people on when they go through a tough time. I've been there, and I worked myself out of it. It took me a long time, but hey, you know, that's the name of the game in life. So. Good for him. But, no, it's interesting conversations tonight. We didn't even get to the Queen Elizabeth passing, and I guess we can touch on it a little bit here. As you all know, Queen Elizabeth passed away today, and I was reading through some of the different posts that were being put out there, and me and Chris kind of talked about it before the show tonight, and I didn't tell Chris this yet, but I'm on the air, but... I came across one post from, I don't remember where it was, but the guy said, it's a private page, and he said, you know, Queen Elizabeth dies today, and any girl goes on to say she's going to meet her maker in the judgment, and maybe she can answer for what happened to Princess Diana and, you know, the indigenous children that went missing, and he got attacked brutally. About how dare you, that's so disrespectful, she just died and you want to do. It's like, well, you know, I had mixed feelings on it. Because, and here's why. Regardless of what she was responsible for in covering up or doing in her life, like I told Chris earlier, now her judgment is with her maker, with God. And she's going to have to answer to them. But on the same token, the truth is the truth, whether it's offensive or not offensive. Is there ever a right time to talk about what somebody has done that is very, very brutal? The rumors surrounding Princess Diana, which I'm not going to get into because I don't feel like it, but there's other things with indigenous children that went missing that were never seen again that she was said to have, you know, been involved with. And I know it sounds a little, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, insensitive that you're talking about, you know, these kind of things on the day she passes away. But, again, the truth is the truth. And, yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, okay, so I have never been big on trampling on someone's grave, because whatever they were, whatever they did in their lifetime, whatever they became, they are no more once they pass. And at that point, like you said, you know, judgment of what they did in their lifetime or what they were is reserved between them and whatever happens after death. And I do that more out of respect, not for those who have passed, but for their loved ones that may have realized that person was imperfect or whatever, you know, but and we all have family members that are imperfect. We all have people that we love that hold feelings or lifestyles that we don't approve of, but we still wouldn't want to hear hurtful words hurled towards them at their time of passing. So I'm not one to pass, you know, to do that. I'm not one to trample on someone's grave. But at the same time, I'm not going to be out there saying, you know, rest in peace, Your Majesty, or all that when I know they had some level of involvement in the cover-up of Epstein Island. So, and I know some things have been proven, some things have not, some things are rumor, and I'm not in a position to know what's what. So, you know, I'm just not talking about it on social media or publicly for the most part. The impact of royalty, the passing of royalty, has no bearing on me. My relatives kind of put an end to the royal family's presence in this country a long time ago. So,
yeah, no, and I agreed with you on the phone, you know, when we talked about it, that I agree with Chris that I have not put out any public statements or posts about the death of Queen Elizabeth. I don't even think I've even shared any of anybody else's, because I feel the same way Chris does. I don't agree with a lot of things that she was involved with in her life, but I'm also not going to sit here and show disrespect and trample, like you said, trample on her grave when she's no longer here. And now she has a whole different set of problems with, you know, whatever happens after you die. So I'm going to leave it at that. And you will not see any posts from me for or against her, not at least, especially not at this point, just because it just happened today, and hell, the lady hasn't even, you know, had a proper burial or any of that yet. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. But I did want to touch base on that, and you know, just I don't know why. I guess, I mean, it's big news. She was a queen of England for 70 years, did I say? Yeah. 70. Yeah, 70 years. That's insane. That's a long time. So on that note, I'll let that subject go, and that's that. So, but, you know, we'll start wrapping up the show. I just want to recap, you know, the things that we've talked about tonight. We me and Chris were talking earlier before the show, discussing on, you know, what exactly we wanted to discuss. And it never fails. It never, ever does it fail. You know, a couple of days ago when I talked to Chris and I said, I'm going to set up the radio show. I got to set it up over the internet every week, usually on Wednesdays or Thursday mornings. So we're ready to go live on air on Thursday nights. And I told Chris, you know, I kind of wanted to touch on Joe Biden's speech and this and that. But it never fails. As soon as you set the show up, breaking news. You know, because I heard today also that there was another shooter at the IRS building in Memphis. And let's not forget about that jogger that was just found dead in Memphis. So what did you say, Chris?
Oh, I said I missed that one. I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, somebody on my Twitter account said, yeah, now there was a shooter at the IRS today. They just found the body of that I think she was kind of a millionaire, billionaire heiress. She had rich family or I don't remember. I haven't read into the story much, but they did find her dead. They arrested the kidnapper. I'm assuming he'll be charged with murder. But a lot of news coming out of Memphis, violent news coming out of Memphis. As a matter of fact, one of the reporters that was reporting on all the violence happening in Memphis, excuse me, she broke down at 8 years and about all of the violence that's been going on and all the craziness that's been going on in Memphis. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, she's not wrong. Holy shit. Well, I mean, what are they putting in the water down there? But Memphis has always been a messed up city. I stayed in Memphis once driving truck, and I had to unload at 3:30 in the morning at a, I don't know what the hell it was, some kind of wholesaler or something. And they said, I just park on the street overnight. So I did that, and some gentleman come up to me. First I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I looked in my mirror, and a dude came running by with a carrying a bicycle, not riding it, carrying it, running. You know, he was running like he was in a marathon. Like, what the – where the hell am I at? And then a guy comes, and I'm it's like 3:30 in the morning. They say they're going to start unloading me at 3:30, so I got up and was sitting in my driver's seat. Well, that was a mistake because a guy comes up and bangs on my door, scared the shit out of me. I about jumped into the, you know, through the sleeper, and I cracked my window. I said, can I help you? He's like, you got any money? I said, I really don't. He's like, well, I'm hungry. I need to eat. I said, I think I have $10 in my sleeper. I can give you $10. Would you? I really would like to eat. And here's the thing. When you're a truck driver and somebody comes up and asks you for money, you never, ever, 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 never, ever get your wallet out in front of them. Ever. Even if it's in your back pocket, I always tell them it's in my sleeper. So I get up and I walk into my sleeper. I grab $10 out of my wallet. I put my wallet back in, left it back there. And then I walked back up to my seat and gave the guy $10, and he left, thankfully. But after that, I don't sit in my driver's side seat, especially in a neighborhood I don't know. And that could have ended up very badly for me. So, but anyway.
You're a nice guy.
What's that?
You're a nice guy. When people knock on my door in the middle of the night and I'm not expecting it, I'm just going to say they have a tendency to leave a little bit traumatized.
Why? What do you do, Chris?
Let's just say they're fully aware that I'm not there to be their friend.
Oh, okay. That's you're just putting it nicely. I see what you're doing.
I'm putting
here. Now, I get very, very skittish because you never know when somebody's going to pull out a gun and shoot you over a $10 bill. You just don't know. People are fucking nuts out there now. It's way worse than it ever has been. I get very nervous going to places I don't know.
When people walk away
yeah.
from my trucks, man, these truck drivers are fucking nuts.
Yeah, right. God, they used to just give you money and wish you a good day. Well, I still try to be, you know, nice and kind, but, man, you just got to be careful. You don't know who the hell you're dealing with anymore. You just don't. People are just, they've lost their freaking minds. But, no, I just wanted to, you know, that breaking story in Memphis happened, and then Queen Elizabeth dies today, you know. It's just right when you think you have a show planned and you're going to, you know, talk about a certain thing, you know, two different things pop up. Well, and then didn't that Democrat out in Las Vegas get arrested today too?
Yes, the news was breaking last night of the SWAT team hitting his house with a search warrant, and then this morning sometime it was announced that he'd actually been arrested for the murder of the journalist.
Yeah, so I mean, there's three big stories right there. One of them, of which we were going to talk about, you know, the politician in Vegas, but you know that other guy that was just insane. I mean, well, that happened yesterday, but I mean, we were going to talk about that, but that was after I set up the radio show when I found out about it. So that's what happens with this, you know, when you talk about all sorts of different things. And then that Too Simple, you know, Lisa sent me that over tonight. I didn't know about that yet either. So it gets crazy with this show, but hey, we like it. And we're able to talk about numerous different things, uncensored things, and, you know, are completely uncensored and share our thoughts and our opinions. And sometimes you agree and sometimes you don't. I guess that's the way it goes. So, you know, wrapping it up, Chris, do you have anything you want to finish the show out with before I thank Bull Snot one more time?
Yeah, play Bull Snot one more time. And you know what? I'm just going to end on the words that an old first sergeant from my Army unit used to say to us every day before we left formation. That was, do it to them before they do it to you.
On that note, fuck, I don't know why I found that funny. Anyway, everybody, I wanted to again thank Unplugged 7 for giving us this platform. Every week, Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Central Time, we get to come on here and talk about whatever it is we feel like talking about, completely uncensored, share our thoughts with you, share our opinions with you. And again, when me and Chris talk about certain things, it's, you have to go look it up for yourself if you don't believe us. The information is out there, and you just have to dig a little bit for some of it. Unfortunately, you know, I don't have the capabilities of sharing links with you to, you know, give you my sources. But I can assure you, like Medicine Man calling in tonight and verifying, yeah, I went on an Amazon website and those dolls are real. So we're not trying to lead you in the wrong direction. We're just trying to let you understand that the world's a lot sicker than what the media will let on to believe. But I wanted to thank Unplugged 7 and also Bull Snot for showing us their support. And one more time with Bull Snot.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Bull Snot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bull Snot new.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Bull Snot. Go find them on Facebook. You can look their products up on Amazon also, and they're all over. You guys all have a great night. God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you on the flip side every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. And thank you, Kim and Chris, for everything you do. Have a good night, everybody.